This week I wanted to talk about being at peace while being in protest. There's so many wonderful things about the Occupy movement. I'm a huge believer that the way things are should never be, you know, the explanation. Should never be the reason why you don't question. It should never be the reason why you just settle. So I'm a big believer in this kind of like, hey, something's not right. And my focus is generally more about that concept in terms of positivity, in terms of your happiness, in terms of your joy. This movement is that same kind of awareness, waking up from these values and ideas that have been layered from this outside system and starting to question, wait a minute, where did these come from? Did these make sense? Does it make sense to have a monetary system that we just was handed, layered upon us? We accept that's the way it is, but does it have to be? And so it is a very difficult thing to say, wait a minute, this doesn't seem right. I kind of liken it to being at a table where, you know, from a very young age, you were sat at the table and they put the food in front of you and there's a huge table and everyone is sitting there and they give you this kind of rotten, sloppy stuff. But you don't know that it's not rotten and sloppy. This is food. And you eat it and you eat it and you eat it. And then, you know, after several years and you start to, you know, maybe you heard a story about somebody that used to had fresh fruit and, you know, you were told by a friend of a friend about, or you had a dream, or you went to a mountaintop and had this revelation that of fresh food, or another way of cooking, or another spice that you could try. And so from then on, as you start sitting down at the table, you start going, this doesn't taste right. And you look around and everyone is just going, oh, gom, gom, gom. And so it's very difficult to say something because everyone, it's like, well, I guess it's, okay, this is just what we eat. Oh, gom, gom. But when people start taking to the streets, which is the equivalent of people going, looking around the table and going, this is terrible. Do you taste this? That is huge. That is a huge shift because the courage it takes to stand up by yourself and say, this tastes wrong. It's what we've been fed my whole life. It's what my parents fed me. It's what my teachers fed me. And I don't want to eat it anymore. Or at least I want to try to find out if we can add some different spices or prepare it in a different way. Or maybe, you know, eat it sooner so it's not so mushy. But if a bunch of people say, hey, we don't like this quite as much as we've been taught to like it. And then when those people get to be a big enough place that say, hey, you know what? Is there room in the kitchen? Could we try some stuff? We got a huge crew here that's willing to help cook. Or we have a huge crew willing to go find some new things, try some other stuff. And so that's conceptually how I see things here. And why it's so exciting to me. But it's something that I think needs to be done with the same discipline that everything needs to be done in your life. Because it is very easy to fall into a place of being swayed by ideas of injustice, of unfairness, and then getting swept up into the, and then you are in the headspace of war. And being at war means there is someone that's wrong. It means that you're fighting. It's very different than being of a place of what can we do to change things? What can I do to change things? And maybe what I can do is act collectively. Maybe what I can do is add my voice to many. Maybe what I can do is gum up the system. But it's important to stay in a place where you recognize that that path of protest, that statement of this is wrong, this doesn't taste good, is one of change, is one of direction. It's not one of war, it's one of healing. Life is not an event. Life is not a place. Life is not a perspective. At any time in your life, you are on a path, heading in a direction. And life is about constantly recorrecting, correcting, correcting, correcting. You know, feeling like, get back on track, get back on track. And every once in a while, you have these events, experiences, teachings that dramatically correct. You go, whoa, okay, I can't believe that I used to be an investment banker, or I can't believe that I used to eat veal, or I can't believe I used to tease kids on the playground. I can't believe, ooh. But you know, it makes sense until it doesn't. It makes sense until it doesn't, and you recorrect and you recorrect and you recorrect. So why that is important from a protesting perspective is because knowing that you're on a path, or we are all on a path, allows us to be joyful as we are protesting. Does that make sense? Last week I talked about that we are all one, we're all connected, and that our purpose in life is less about doing anything and more about being. And a number of people questioned that and said, so what, just sit on the couch, do nothing? What about jobs? What about money? What about, you know, work? And those are good questions, to which I say, well, you better get yourself some rich parents. No, I'm kidding. There are a lot of people that are much smarter and more dialed in and in alignment than I who talked about these things. Byron Katie is one, and she talks about loving reality. And people often criticize in the same way. Like, so what, just accept everything? It's like, no. Loving reality, becoming at peace with what is, or as I like to say it, floating more and steering less, is not about inaction. It's about being careful about what is driving your action. It means becoming to a place of peace as you're on your path, and then figuring out what is the next step that makes sense in my alignment. You can't do nothing. It's impossible. There's a line in A Course in Miracles that said, I need do nothing. It doesn't say don't do anything. It says I need do nothing. You will do things. You have no choice. You cannot inhale without exhaling. You cannot exist without doing. But the process that governs our doing is, it makes all the difference in the world. So if we can get to a place where we recognize that we're on a path, and where we are in this path right now, everything that exists right now is amazing. We are in the gift. We are miracles within a miracle within a miracle, and all of that together is us, and we are that miracle. And that unfolding of the universe is a process of chaos, order, and our gift is the ability to, when we get clear, when we clear out the things that are layered on top from our culture, from whatever, is a place of going, okay, how can I get myself more in alignment? How can I play my role in the whole as being more in alignment, more in alignment? There's a book called Man's Search for Meaning by a man named Viktor Frankl. And he was a survivor of a Nazi concentration camp. And he was able to find a way to survive this by recognizing that there is no authority over your mind and your thoughts. And so I often go to Viktor Frankl and then pull back, in terms of recognizing the suffering that any of us are going through. So if we can pull out of that kind of riled up feeling of like, we are victims, we are slaves, we are, and go, okay, I am in control of my thoughts. No matter what is happening in my physical world, I'm in control. This is my journey. I still have the ability to be more in alignment, more in alignment. Even if it is the way that I treat my captor, the way I treat the guard that is in front of my cage, the way that I think about myself in relation to all the creatures in the world, the way I ingest food, the way I treat my body, we are in control. And so from that place, recognizing the recalibrating our baseline from that place and recalibrating it from saying, okay, we are so overwhelmingly blessed. If you are hearing my voice right now, you have hearing. I had this kind of flash moment the other day when I was in the shower. Showers are my recalibration point. One, because we've got running water, which is a miracle. If you want, you can drink from the fountain. That's just like... Tell people about your shower as you're traveling, you know, certain countries in the world and how unfair your life is. That being said, recalibrate your baseline to recognize your gifts, the blessings, the amazing things in your life, and then from that place, recognize you're on a path and go, what is the next step in more alignment? And that next step might be, there's a lot of injustice in our monetary system. I'm going to walk towards that fixing. I'm going to put the weight of my life towards something that I believe in. And that can be all sorts of directions. When we work together, right now is a time when people are trying to collectively act. Actually, that's debatable how collective that is. The protest I saw, the diversity of issues was thrilling, but I digress. What I guess I'm trying to say for myself is trying to find a way to be an activist in the world by being an activist internally first and doing both from a place of joy. Doing both from a place free from anger, but towards more alignment. Some of those ways of doing that do mean protesting in a very physical way. Actually standing up, actually saying, "This, I will not stand for this. This is not okay with me." There were very peaceful people in history. You know, I've been thinking a lot about the ways that Gandhi was an activist. You know, he saw the British imposed and said, "You have to buy your clothing from England." And he said, "This is crazy. You know, why would we spend so much money to import all this British clothes?" And so he, you know, you see those famous pictures of him, you know, on the weaving wheel making his own clothing. And you see pictures of him marching in those robes. You know, people, you know, if you're not familiar with Gandhi's story, you see, oh, this, you know, simple peasant man in his robes. The dude wore suits when he was young. He was a lawyer and stuff. But this was his way of saying, okay, how can I get more in alignment? This feels wrong. This is just not right. But how can I take a step towards alignment? How can I make the weight of my life matter for what I believe in? And then collectively, by leading by example, by being an inspiration, by being an inspirational activist, people align with that, and that simple statement becomes a powerful one, has economic reach, has philosophical impact on people. Gandhi also made the argument when there's a great line in the movie Gandhi when he's talking with a pastor, and the pastor, and he's kind of arguing that turn the other cheek is a metaphorical comment, and Gandhi says, I don't think so. I think that when you act so dramatically in your ideals, I'm paraphrasing, but when you truly demonstrate the dedication you have to your ideals and actually allow them to strike you again, something changes in your oppressor's mind, and they recognize that they are out of alignment. And that leads into another thing that I just wanted to address. I've been kind of struggling a lot this last couple weeks with when people are spreading misinformation. A photograph that has been photoshopped, a graph, pie chart that is misleading, a quote that is misattributed. And I've been trying really to say, look that up on Snopes. Check that up. Snopes.com is a place where you can check internet rumors. Or look it up on Wikipedia, asking people what the sources are. And some people have seen my actions as being kind of an obstacle to the movement, an obstacle to progress and growth and or the protesting. And to me, it is so far not that. Because if you wish to be an agent of justice, you have to walk the walk. You cannot fight terrorism by torturing people. And you cannot fight injustice with lies. You become what you're fighting against. And so as I see this kind of misinformation flying, I'm like, what's the difference if you are swayed by external falsehood and manipulation from the left or the right? Either way, you are not walking in truth. You are not following alignment. You are being swayed. And so if we are to be a collective group aligning with truth, aligning with more justice, aligning with compassion, then we have to be vigilant that the means by which we do that adhere to those same ideals. Someone compared me to being the grammar police when I was saying, look, that quote wasn't by who you said it was, and you know, when you spread falsehood, it weakens the truth, and they call me a grammar cop, and I'm like, oh boy. Oh, that stings. So let me just say that if you are watching this archive because you are in a park occupying some place right now, I say thank you. I think that it is important work. I think that elevating the dialogue, the importance of the dialogue, is critical. I think that simply changing the landscape such that we question the way things are, that we look to this plate of slop and say, can we cook this any better? At least let's have the dialogue before we march into the kitchen with our steak knives. Let's take a moment and have a Hug Nation hug. So wherever you are, grab yourselves by the shoulders. And once again, feel this body, feel this self-healing, self-repairing, ever-growing and shifting physical thing that houses lymph nodes and marrow and spinal fluid and nerve systems and just so many systems interworking, intertwining, creating an experience that allows us to, whether we are in a prison camp, whether we're in a prison cell, whether we are marching in a street, sleeping in a park, or enjoying the miraculous flowing water in our shower, we are privy to the gift. Our purpose is to receive that gift and then feel what direction we are pulled towards alignment. And when we can take that step by step towards truth, our own truth, not the one that is convinced of us from some slick-tongued, pink-haired guy on the internet or a guy in a suit or somebody wearing a special robe, but when that internal pull, that is the action we take. That is what human being is. It is simply receiving. And as we inhale, exhale. As we see someone needs help, we extend a hand. As we see the path heading towards our truth, we take that step. So let's take an inhale. And let's remember that all people are on that path. In equilibrium, in balance of what they believe to be the righteous thing to do in that moment, always correcting themselves. And what was once made sense to you and is now embarrassing, we understand our own path. We must dig deep and try to understand others' path. And so not lash out in anger or frustration or bitterness, but instead look inside with compassion, demonstrate with inspiration, and simply be the change in our words, in our actions, and in our constant path of correction towards alignment. Let's take a deep breath and just feel connected to all the people in whatever state, all over the world. Deep breath. On behalf of Grandpa Caleb and all who walk their truth and all the love warriors, happy Hug Nation. It's an honor to spend this time with you. I love you. Namaste.
You, beautiful person, are listening to the Hug Nation podcast with Halcyon, recorded live every Tuesday, hugnation.com.
You only live once. Enjoy the color.